everyone. Welcome to Friday. Welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf. He is the Hall of Famer, Chris Carter. This is Nick Wright. Great show for you today. We had some basketball last night, which will carry us through the next 3 hours. One place to start, and it is the reason my partner here lost some money last night.
You don't even know if that's true, Jenna Wolf. You asked me 30 seconds ago.
I fact-checked.
You don't even know
that. I fact-checked.
Great dress, Jenna.
Thank you. Great tie, CC. Nick, you're looking dapper. Game one of the NBA Finals took place last night. Warriors, Raptors, and Toronto's Pascal Siakam was the star in this one. We said Kawhi would need someone else to step up, and Siakam did. Spicy P led Toronto 32 points as the Raptors won it 118-109. Steph had 34 points. Klay chipped in 21, but that wasn't enough as the Warriors drop game one of the finals. First time they've lost game one in the finals during this dynasty. In fact, here's your game one star, Pascal Siakam.
We know the team we're playing. We're playing an amazing team. They're the champions, and we just got to be ready. We won game one. We came out with a lot of, you know, it was really aggressive, you know, on defense and trying to make it tough for the players, you know, to find open shots. But, you know, we know that it's game one, and they're going to come out, they're going to make adjustments, and we got to be ready for that.
He played an amazing game, obviously, but, you know, he got out in transition a lot. Our transition D was horrible, and I let him get in the rhythm in the first half, first quarter, really. So I got to do a better job of taking his rhythm away, and I will, but, you know, he had a great game. But that's on me.
Down 0-1, but it's not the end of the world. You know, new experiences for us all the way through. But, you know, we've proven our resiliency and ability to win games that we need to and kind of answer the bell and learn from, you know, nights like tonight.
Warriors don't have to use the word resilience very often. But, Nick, let me start with you. How did the Raptors do it? How did they win game one?
Pascal Siakam and the Raptors' defense were ready for NBA Finals intensity, and the Golden State Warriors were not. The Portland Trail Blazers didn't do Golden State any favors except for the added rest. Golden State clearly thought, we'll go on a run. Oh, we're down at halftime? Okay, we're down at halftime in game two, in game three, in game four in the previous series. It was no problem. The Raptors' defense would not allow them to go on that run. The Warriors' defense wouldn't allow them to go on that run because at no point last night did they show any interest in getting back in transition or semi-transition, which Steve Kerr was just beside himself about during and after the game. And then there was a star turn for Pascal Siakam. Throughout the year, a lot of people were talking about D'Angelo Russell as the most improved player, and he was probably the most improved prominent player. But on this show, we talked about the kid in Toronto, Pascal Siakam, how he went from being a 7-point-a-game guy to a 16-point-a-game guy with a legitimate claim to be on an all-defensive team. And he was spectacular last night. In a game where Golden State had a very clear strategy that we're not going to let Kawhi Leonard beat us, and that was one thing they were actually able to execute, Pascal Siakam, who's got a lot of young Kawhi Leonard in his game, a lot of similarities there, took advantage of the fact that after in round two, he's got 6'11 Ben Simmons guarding him. And in round three, he's got 6'11 Giannis guarding him. Now he's got regular-sized NBA player Draymond Green guarding him.
Self-proclaimed best defender in the history of the
history
NBA.
History of the world, Draymond Green. And Pascal Siakam gave him that work. And it was critical. It was the reason, to me, the biggest reason the Raptors won. It's why the Raptors were able to score with Golden State. And you had pointed out all week leading up to it, Chris, that Toronto that can't lose game one. They can't give away home court immediately.
Yes.
They didn't give away a quarter last night. They led wire to wire in this game, essentially, and Pascal Siakam's the biggest reason. And
Draymond makes a great point, though, in the soundbite, talking about the Warriors and how they decided to try to win this game was they're not going to let Kawhi Leonard get off. But Kawhi decided that I'm not going to be an unselfish player, and I'm going to try to make the right play. Even though he took some tough shots, a typical superstar like Kawhi, he's going to get up 24 to 27 shots in that game. But Kawhi didn't. Even though he played the type of minutes you didn't, he decided that, you know, I'm going to get other people involved. And after a slow start and turning the ball over, creating those open looks gave the other Raptors, confidence. Mark Gasol, he got off in that first quarter. Siakam, not only in the first quarter, but in the second quarter, he got into a rhythm. He got some easy looks. He got out into the fast break. And there were some things in this game that I was totally surprised at. And Jenna, you and I talked about it early this morning as far as Nick Nurse coming into this series. He's probably the least, as far as important things, as far as coaching, we just assume, oh, Steve Kerr, with all his experience. Nick Nurse, a journeyman coach, first year in Toronto. Their season's over with. It's been great taking this franchise there. But the adjustments that he made going into game number one, I think, led to the win, and that was the pace and how they were going to start the game.
Yeah, and one of those things is the transition. And Draymond said afterwards, we got beat in the transition game. And Pascal said, the reason I was able to play so well is because I was able to get back so quickly on transition. Was that the biggest difference, do you think, in this game?
Well, the biggest thing and one of the keys Nick had was the rebounding. They have to win the rebounding battle. And in going against Golden State, people talk about, oh, they're going to shoot threes. They're going to move the ball around. Everyone's going to set picks for Steph and for Klay. But, yes, the other thing they do besides free throw shooting that kills you, it's their offensive rebounding or second chance points. And if you're going to the offensive board trying to get offensive rebounds, trying to get second chance points, and the thing that I missed in Nick Nurse, because I said they need to slow the pace down, make sure this game is slow. No, he told them from the beginning, we're going to attack, we're going to run. I was like, wow, they're going to run themselves into a very quick death.
Because we said coming in, what the Raptors have to do is slow down the Warriors
game. I thought they were playing into the Warriors' hand. I thought they were, because early in the game, they were giving up offensive rebounds. Was Toronto gave up five in the first quarter. They were trying to play at a pace with Golden State, and I thought they would wear out and Golden State would punch them.
And Golden State, typically, teams have tried to do this, but when they try to outrun Golden State, they try to outshoot them. There's a difference in outrunning them, because with Steph and with Klay, they shoot the ball from diagonal and from the corner an awful lot. You're not going to have a balanced defense, so they're out of position. If they don't get an offensive rebound or a second chance, you have the ability to go on the attack. And that's what Nick Nurse and this coaching staff realized in the two games that they played earlier this year. They played at a faster pace. We saw Toronto slow down Milwaukee, and Milwaukee we thought was just a sample size of what Golden State was going to do. But, man, we were totally wrong. Nick Nurse was up on this, and that first half, man, they pushed that pace. In the second half, they got back to more of a finals game, more like they played Milwaukee. But that first half, first 24 minutes, Nick, huge advantage in the pace of the game.
And, see, you mentioned Kawhi not forcing the issue, Kawhi recognizing like that most guys in his spot would put up 20 plus shots. One of the reasons he didn't and was because he didn't have to. The Raptors had a lead the entire game. So Kawhi, the Warriors, I think, had a smart defensive game plan against Kawhi. And their game plan against Kawhi isn't why Pascal got off. It's not why they got out in transition. I think they will try to duplicate that. They need to get better on the rotations. They can't give Marc Gasol what Steve Kerr called dare shots. Those things, they can guard Kawhi that way and be better otherwise defensively. But if Pascal Siakam doesn't make 11 consecutive field goal attempts and isn't 14 of 17 from the field in the game, then maybe Kawhi feels like, man,
oh, yeah,
I got to take some of these shots.
Yes, I get pressed.
And so it was the Raptors continually getting stops, and Siakam being so great defensively allowed Kawhi to a degree to ease himself into the game and just take, I know it's a cliche, but take what the defense gave him. And what the defense gave him, what the Warriors gave him, was a 1-0 lead in the series.
I mean, Siakam was special in this game. How special, Nick? I know you always love. You hit me with this. Oh, man, this guy is one of 10.
Yeah.
This guy's one of Siakam, 1 of 3. First NBA Finals game, 1 of 3. Jordan, Allen Iverson to go 35-5. That's how special he was in game number 1.
Pascal Siakam, 32 points on 14 for 17 shooting. Toronto now has a 1-0 lead in this series over the Golden State Warriors.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
NBA Finals Game 1, Pascal Siakam.
Wasn't quite
so good.
OBJ.
Nice touch pass to Kawhi for the layup.
I wanted to see who was getting back in defense there. So there's an instance where Siakam shows an element of his game that shocked me. Siakam did read the cut mid-air touch pass when he is on fire offensively. You would think he's going to take it and go straight up with it.
There's no defense for this, Nick. That was after a make.
I know. They were getting out and running all the time.
More Siakam, this time on defense with perfect timing to block Draymond's shot off the backboard.
Nick, you were up on Siakam throughout the season, especially as a defensive player. Mm-hmm. I love the comparison. If Toronto had more postseason success, we could talk about him developing a lot like Kawhi.
Well, keep in mind, they drafted him thinking they're going to have to go through LeBron every year. So they drafted him and the kid OG as guys that could guard LeBron in playoff series.
Yeah, and there were people high on him last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were high. They were smoking something yeah. thinking he was going to stop LeBron.
We got it. More from the finals now. Raptors beating the Warriors 118-109. First time the Warriors have lost game one of the finals under Steve Kerr. No Kevin Durant in this one, but Boogie Cousins did come off the bench. Gave you 8 minutes, 3 points. Steph and Klay combined for 55 points. Wasn't enough, though. As the Raptors built a halftime lead, they would never relinquish. Still, Klay Thompson is sure that Golden State will bounce back.
We're not very familiar with this team, but that's no excuse. You know, it's still a... Still got to come out here, and our goal was to get one, and it's still on the table for us. So I know we'll respond like the champions we are.
All right, Nick, how do you expect them to bounce back in game two?
Well, I expect them to come back and win game two, if for no other reason than I've never seen them go down 2-0 in a series. We've seen them go down 3-1. That series, they split 1-1. We've seen them lose a series to Cleveland. That series, they were up 2-0. We've seen them go down 3-2 in a series against Houston. That series, it was 1-1. And that was the only other series they've played where they started on the road. The Warriors losing two games to start an NBA Finals would put them in such unfamiliar territory. The last 3 years, they were up 2-0 instead of being not down 0-2, up 2-0. First two games of the NBA Finals. But what do they have to do differently? A lot of it is what we saw in those highlights, what Chris pointed out. It's one thing to allow transition buckets off a long miss. Steph shoots a three,
yeah.
long rebound out, and all of a sudden you got a 3-on-2. To allow transition buckets after a make shows that you were not ready for the intensity of the moment of the NBA Finals, which is a little inexplicable given the fact that your team's played in nothing but NBA Finals. Like, everyone out there's played in these NBA Finals for your team. For the guys on the other roster, the last time any of them played in NBA Finals was Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard 5 seasons ago. So I expect the Warriors to bounce back in game two. I expect them to have a similar game plan for Kawhi Leonard. Now, if Pascal Siakam all of a sudden is going to be the second best player in the series, then that could change some math for Golden State. But I expect Golden State to, at the very least, even if you don't think they're going to win game two, to come out with a better intensity on both sides of the ball than they showed last night.
Does the approach change as far as Steve Kerr does what he does with adjustments, having seen what Pascal Siakam does? Do they guard Kawhi differently? They managed to hold him in check last night?
Well, this is the thing. We haven't talked about Golden State making adjustments because they've been so dominant. But in that dominance, yes, they do make adjustments. They will be more sound on their rotations defensively. But there are certain things that they shouldn't be surprised about, because Nick Nurse surprised everyone as far as the pace of the game, them getting the ball out. So I expect them. You're not going to be able to throw the ball over their head, and they did that several times for easy looks, or that was converted to an easy look by a Raptor. So I expect them to do that. But Mark Gasol, Siakam, I don't expect him to get 32 again, but Mark Gasol in his last three games against the Warriors when he was with Memphis. He averaged 27-9, shot 52% from the field, 62% from three. So he has had some success going against the Warriors. So, yes, the Warriors will make some type of adjustment. Do we expect Kawhi to just have a normal game again, him and Kyle Lowry? So they will be on the attack in game number two. So the biggest concern for me is not the adjustments. It's not Steve Kerr. He will have them buttoned up. I don't think it was the intensity. I just think basketball is a game that is better off played on a regular basis. The 9 days off, we have seen series year after year, it hurts the team with the layoff. You get into a rhythm, and that was the advantage Toronto had. The atmosphere was second to none. But can they? Andre Iguodala, can they substitute those minutes? What if they're missing him? If he's the primary defender on Kawhi, Alphonso McKinney, how many minutes does he have to play? Is he offensive enough? What type of rotation are they going to have? So I believe they'll make those adjustments. My thing is Andre Iguodala, that injury to him, what will adjustments they have to make with those minutes if he's potentially either hurt for a long period of time or if he's limited? Do they bring him off the bench and have someone else start the game?
And it really does appear, now that we have a few weeks window to look back, that they used the bit of gas Andre had left, they used against Houston. And they needed every last bit of gas against Houston. They needed his defense. In game six, he hit 5 3-pointers. He has not made a three-pointer since game six against the Houston Rockets. Those shots are coming up short, which usually means your legs are not exactly where you want them to be. And if Iggy is limited or not playing, see, now all of a sudden, you're running out of people. You're running out of people. You're running out of playmakers. Then it is that Alphonso McKinney, who 3 years ago this week was playing in the secondary league in Luxembourg, is an NBA Finals starter.
He might be starting Sunday night.
Right. I mean, I think you think he will be starting Sunday night.
I mean, Iggy, it didn't look good. His calf, he strained it again. And let's not forget, not only the 9 days off, but he missed part of game three, missed all of game number four. Like, he's been resting to not be able to finish that game when he tried to explode, because in round number two, I was bragging about Andre Iguodala. Man, he's leading the playoff in dunks.
Right.
Man, the explosiveness, and you mentioned it. We might have got all that he had getting out of that Houston series.
Is there a chance that perhaps because of what happened last night, you rush Clay back, you try to get Boogie back in? Does a guy like Clay have to step up and be the guy now and give you more than 21?
So I don't think they're going to rush Durant back. I think that is one that they will see. Durant's not going to play in game two. I mean, I feel like we know Durant's not playing in game two. We'll see what happens in game two.
Regardless of whatever happens with Iggy.
I don't think you can. Steve Kerr's been adamant about what the process is. And by the way, Kevin Durant is also, the calf is connected, if I'm not mistaken, to the Achilles, and he is about to be a free agent. And this is super high-level intensity. You can't tell Kevin Durant, go out there at 50%. So, like, right, I mean, this is something that could lead to, right now he has a significant-ish injury. You can't rush him back and have it be a career-altering injury, which a popped Achilles can be. But the last name you mentioned is the name that, to me, is the most noteworthy for game number two. Klay Thompson now. Klay Thompson, we've said before on this show, he's got the best deal in sports. He gets a max contract. When he plays great, we all talk about, man, if Klay had his own team, look at what he would be. And when he doesn't play great, we talk about other guys.
We do.
Klay, what?
It's right, amazing.
It's the greatest deal in sports. Like, I feel like there's part of Kevin Durant that wishes he got to be that guy. Like, I get all the money. When I'm awesome, I'm awesome. When I'm not, nobody cares. Klay wasn't bad yesterday, but he has to put his impact on the game, and Toronto recognized what I'm surprised more people haven't recognized over this Warriors run. Klay Thompson cannot dribble. He can't dribble.
Not well.
I mean, he can't dribble without his head being down. There was the play where he had the dunk. He took seven steps because he didn't want to dribble. They started picking him up full court when he had the ball. You said it before the show. It looked like I don't want to be disrespectful, but it looked like a junior high team that's not dealing with a press well, where it's like, oh, man, I got to just dribble to the sideline and try to throw it to somebody. Klay's got to be great. When Kevin Durant's not out there, Klay and Steph have to be 2015, 2016 Splash Brothers, where they're both a threat for 35, not just Steph.
I'm going to throw Draymond in there also. he's got to be far more aggressive. Now, they were way up on the scheme. They weren't like Portland. Portland, the pick and roll to Steph, they laid off of Steph. Steph killed him in game number one, game number two. They allowed Draymond to run out. Nick Nurse and his coaching staff, they were up. They were trapping Steph, and they were out to get in front of Draymond so that he couldn't initiate that break. But Clay, man, Clay, you got to be super. Like, you talking about a max deal. You talking about last week you were sucking your teeth because you weren't on the All-NBA team. Hey, man, it's your time, bro. You got all these guys hurt. It's your time. And we just give Clay a pass like no other great player. Second greatest shooter we might have seen in the history of the game. Man, he gets an easy pass. And last night, no, he was not bad. But he was not super when they needed him to be.
Former welterweight champ Devin Alexander will go toe-to-toe with challenger Ivan Radgacz. All the action tomorrow at 8 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. Time now for us to go viral, sponsored by TGA Fridays. Choose two meats plus two sides for only $14.99. Check out Drake picking a piece of lint out of Steph Curry's hair during game one last night. And he didn't stop there, posting to the gram that he's listing Curry's hair lint on eBay under the username Draymond Shouldn't Wear 23, the bidding already at over $90,000. You like that? You like that?
That's you good. Really just Nick. Gonna go through another man's hair like that? Is Steph Curry playing a basketball
he's
game?
He's already shown that there's nothing
gonna
go he won't do on that sideline.
While talking trash to Steph, you're just going to pick through
no,
his
he
hair?
Wasn't talking trash to him. It was actually, there was going to be a lot of photos taken that night. He's like, you might not want this in your hair while we're getting this first finals win
and
in
by
franchise
the way,
history.
Folks at eBay, I think that's a fraudulent posting because if you watch the clip, he very clearly does this, gets it, drops it on the ground. And by the way, man, you can't just go and go rough through somebody's hair
hold
like
on,
that.
Hold on. Did you not rough through his hair just the other day and you appreciated it?
Well, the only reason why
it?
I did that, now, if he told me he was trying to prove that Steph didn't have a toupee on, because that's what people on Twitter, they think Nick Wright's trying to grow hair. Oh, that's a toupee. No, that's Nick's hair.
That is my hair.
Nick's hair is on, he's on that a mandate from his wife. He don't want to. He got to grow his hair out.
That's all true. Okay. You shouldn't touch another person's hair without consent.
You think that's the
case? Yeah, I think that's the case. Jenna, you got stuff in your hair all the time. I don't touch it.
I let
Freddie come out here and deal with that.
All right. Find a way to bring it around. Time now for your AT&T wake-up call. Pascal Siakam was the star for the Raptors in their Game 1 win, leading the way for Toronto with 32 points. CC, how impressive was Pascal Siakam last night?
Not only his ability on the offensive end, it was impressive, but Nick Nurse's game plan of how they were going to get him out and take advantage of Draymond Green. I mean, Draymond Green had made a proclamation a couple days ago. He was the best defender in the history of the league. Whoa. Well, how about the NBA? They dropped 32 on you. It's Siakam. Very impressive in Jenna number one. Best player on the court.
Yeah, I mean, he was the best player on the court by a wide margin last night. Had the most points of any Raptor. Had the most rebounds. Had the second most assists. Had the most blocked shots. And, I mean, to score 32 on 17 shots when you're not a three-point shooter. I mean, he did end up going 2 of 3 from three, but he was just doing it. What you're seeing right here. Now, that shot right there, I don't know I've seen him make all year. A little pull-up mid-range, hand in your face. He was good in transition. It was really nice for him, clearly, after being guarded by 6'11 Ben Simmons, 6'11 Giannis, to have 6'7 Draymond on him.
The front court from Portland was so bad, I thought Toronto would have an advantage because of the talent that they have.
All right, tough news for the Warriors. Andre Iguodala seemed to injure his leg towards the end of the game. Iggy staying positive, saying he will be fine. Nick, how big of a deal is this if Iggy is not fine?
Oh, it's an enormous deal. They'd now be down three starters. Because I know Boogie's back, but he's clearly not back. KD's not back yet. Iggy's wildly important defensively in this series. And as I've been saying, if he makes threes, you lose. If he's not out there, it's Alphonso McKinney, who is an undrafted guy who was playing in Luxembourg 3 years ago, who paid $175 to get a tryout in the league. He's going to be a starter in the NBA Finals. That's tough, man.
Iguodala has a lot of respect with the referees. So guarding Kawhi, like, he gets a favorable whistle because he's a veteran. He knows how to play, and he's played against Kawhi an awful lot. McKinney, I wouldn't trust him going against Kawhi. That's why I believe Kawhi will explode the rest of the series.
All right, moving on. Warriors may have lost the game. You can't pin this one on Steph Curry, though. Curry had 34 points, 5 assists in the loss. Nick, what'd you make of Steph Curry's game last night?
But Steph started the game excellent, and then second quarter didn't make a shot. Steph, and that's when the Raptors got their real margin. He tried to bring them back in the third and fourth quarters. He was the one Warrior that I feel like can look at how he played on both ends of the court, if we're being fair, and say, you know what? I did my job.
Yes.
He's not that type of player that he would do that. He wasn't the one getting beat in transition. He wasn't the one missing open shots. So I thought Steph played well, and it speaks to how great he's played since Durant's been out, that a 34-point game where you're like, yeah, he played pretty well, not a great game by his standards.
Toronto made him work on the defensive end. He got switched out on some of their bigs, and they decided to go into the post. So they tried to take some of his energy away by trying to put that pressure on him. But Steph, he played a good game, scoring 30 points in a finals game. He just needed a little more help, Jenna.
All right, finally, Boogie Cousins made his return to the court last night, played just 8 minutes, scored just 3 points, dished out just 2 assists. But Nick, do the Warriors need more of Boogie or less of Boogie moving forward?
I think this is just Goldilocks zone, just the right amount. Not too hot, not too cold, just per. Like, they used him in the exact spot you need to use him. Beginning of the second, beginning of the fourth, those lineups where the offense has gone to die since Durant's been out, where Clay is out there by himself. It's Clay and Quinn Cook and Alphonso McKinney and Sean Livingston. Boogie as a playmaker, Boogie as a passer is
very
where he was
passer.
Better.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get him out there where the Raptors don't have a big that's going to draw him away from the basket, make him move laterally, that's where Boogie can be utilized. But, see, you were spot on about he was did not look like Boogie Cousins, did not look like he had his speed, his fitness. Mm-hmm. He seemed to be winded. Now, he maybe was just excited about coming in, but 90 seconds into his first rotation, he was pouring sweat and breathing heavily. But I think this, if Boogie can deal with it mentally, this is exactly the way they need to use him. Very short bursts at the beginning of the second and the fourth quarter when Steph's getting a rest.
Deal with it mentally being coming off the bench, not starting for the first time, and just
and
playing
a very
that
limited
small
role.
Amount
correct.
Of time.
I think the sample size they got in game one, it gives them the ability to be more comfortable as you move forward. You can't miss 45 days, not only during the regular season, but we're talking about playoff action, playoff intensity. He's played in now a little more than 2 playoff games his whole career. I believe the 8 minutes, it served him well, but he just does not match up well. He doesn't match up well with Gasol. He doesn't match up well with Serge Ibaka because they bring them out to yep. the three-point line. And right now, he's not a great defender, even when he's healthy. But right now, he just doesn't have that gym time. He just doesn't have that burst, that quickness. And he's not as effective in the low post because he doesn't have his quickness. He was never a guy who played above the rim. So this is something to watch. I'm sure that the staff was happy to be able to get him out there, compared to breaking him in game number 2, down 1-0.
And I want to just say something as a testament to Boogie Cousins. It is borderline remarkable that he got himself ready to play at all. To suffer the injury he suffered at this point in the season, when you know you're not going to be on this team next year, when you know the only chance you have of playing is if they make the NBA Finals, and they would have done that without you, and you know you're not going to have any chance of coming back to 30 minutes per game, to work as hard as he did to put himself in this position for a guy who there's been a lot of off, not even off the court, there have been a lot of questions about his non-basketball stuff, about how good of a teammate is he a distraction, his griping with the refs. It showed to me incredible sports character, all the reports out of the Bay Area, at how diligent he was with his rehab just to get this little bit of an opportunity. I think a lot of guys would have suffered that injury and recognized, man, even if I bust my tail, I'm not going to be ready until July. He knew that was on the board, worked as hard as he did. Instead, he's ready right before June, and he could be valuable to them in spots. Credit him for getting himself out
there. There's a small part of him that wanted to showcase where he is for teams next year, that he is back, he can play again, and you're not going into the offseason with question marks about his future since he is going to be looking for a new home next year, most likely. Moving on to Kevin Durant now. He did not play in game 1 last night, and despite making the trip to Toronto, Steve Kerr says KD's a long shot to play in Sunday's game 2. However, if he does return to the floor, Kawhi says the Raptors will be ready.
Whenever he does play or say he's going to be playing, then we're definitely going to have to, prep for him. you know, he's another guy that could just score 30 points in his sleep. And, I mean, everybody know who he is, and for sure we're going to have to prep for him.
CeCe, what did we learn last night about how much the Warriors need Kevin Durant, or did we not learn anything?
Well, this is the thing, and Nick has said it best. Kevin Durant has always been a luxury. But even if we look at Kevin Durant as a luxury, we know he's one of the best players. And on the biggest stages, this is the things that we know. We're not guessing. Siakam, man, we're guessing what he's going to do. Kawhi, it's been a few years since he's been back in the finals. We kind of know, but we don't know. Man, Kevin Durant in the NBA Finals, we have seen in the last 2 years when the best player, LeBron James, in the world, him, Steph Curry, and KD on the same court, Kevin Durant was the best player. So regardless of scheme, regardless of anything else, that right there exists. And just imagine what it would take out of Kawhi, because Kawhi was not as healthy as I thought he was going to be. He was laboring a little bit with that leg. So between him, Siakam, Serge Ibaka coming off the bench, all of them would have to rotate. Danny Green, he wouldn't be able just to guard Steph. All of them would have to guard KD. So in the back of your mind, when you go on the court, you have all these game plans for assignments for all these different guys. But now Kevin Durant, who I believe is the hardest one to guard because you can have perfect defense and he can still fill it up on you, you don't have to go to that right now. But you can believe with Nick Nurse, with that coaching point, we're going to run on them. They have the Kevin Durant scheme already, and they know it's going to take a bunch of guys. They feel better that he is not playing. Trust me, guys won't admit it. They don't want to play against Kevin Durant. They want to beat this team that they beat in game number one. Nick?
I knew this was coming as soon, assuming the Warriors didn't sweep, which nobody thought they were going to. The moment the Warriors were to lose a game, whether it was game one, game two, game three, the question was going to be, posed, see, they got to have Kevin Durant. Like, this is what, since they hadn't lost since he went down. They need Kevin Durant to be unbeatable. They don't need Kevin Durant to beat you. There's a distinction there. With Kevin Durant, this team has an air of invincibility that they can overcome a bad Klay game, that they can overcome an Andre Iguodala injury.
Draymond Green said before game number one, there's two different identities that the Warriors have. One, when Kevin Durant walks into the arena, he said they know they're going to win. He don't care what it looks like. He don't care how they start the game, how many shots the other team makes, how bad they're playing defensively. They know they're going to win. He said when Kevin Durant's not with us, we think we can win, but we don't know how we're going to win. And I thought that was very insightful.
Hey, listen, the idea that because they lost last night, which, by the way, what they became last night was the 14th out of the last 15 times the road team has lost game one of the NBA Finals. They were the Vegas underdog, and they lost the game. They cut it to 3-1 time early in the fourth quarter. Other than that, Toronto controlled that game. The idea that all of a sudden the pendulum should flip all the way to, well, if KD doesn't come back, they can't beat this team. I just don't buy it. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, so what if you break it down a little more than that and take the micro view? Would he have been able to stop Pascal Siakam last night? Could he have slowed down what Siakam could have done underneath the bucket there?
Siakam can't concentrate on the offensive end because of Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is the most efficient, great scorer that we've seen. He can get you a bucket to be able to stop. He can, those substitution patterns. There were times where Klay was the only shooter on the court. You don't have that. Like, let's give respect to who Kevin Durant is. That's why I don't like the numbers that they run out there as far as, oh, Golden State without Kevin Durant. Well, how many times were they playing against elite competition? When people say, well, they won those last five games, I thought Milwaukee and Toronto were a lot better than Houston and the Portland Trailblazers.
Well, I certainly think they're a lot better than Portland. And but that knife cuts both ways. Would Kevin Durant have been able to help them last night? It certainly appears so. Would Steph Curry have had 33 points in the second half of Game 6 against the Rockets if Durant were out there? I don't think so. So there is an element of that we know, and what the numbers say is they can beat you without KD.
Yeah.
What the numbers say is they don't have to have KD to win. The numbers actually say they're better without him. I don't believe that to be true. I think there is some noise in that, more noise than signal. But they clearly can win this championship if he never plays again. They are more likely to win it if he does play again. So if the question is, did last night show us that the Warriors need him? They want to have him. I'll say it until he's not there anymore. He is the greatest luxury in sports history, but we know what a luxury is, and we know what a necessity is. Steph Curry is a necessity for this team. Kevin Durant's a luxury that they would have liked to have last
year. You got Jordan Bell starting at center. Jordan Bell's 1 for 2. He plays 11 minutes. Draymond Green's 2 for 9. Draymond don't have to shoot 9 times if Kevin Durant's there. Iggy's 3 for 7. Plays almost 30 minutes. Draymond plays almost 40 minutes. They don't play those minutes if KD is there. It's impossible for them to be a better team without Kevin Durant.
Well, Jonas Jerebko doesn't come into the game if Kevin Durant's there. Like, there is, and the other element is when the trade-off they made when they went and got KD was they sacrificed their depth. So we don't live in the alternative universe of when KD's out, they get that depth back. When the KD goes out, they lose what they lost by, to go get him, and they don't have his production. But they are the idea that because they lost one game, the first game, the biggest game in Raptors history, the first time they've ever had an NBA final start on the road, that now all of a sudden we should think they can't beat this team or any team without Kevin Durant. I don't buy
it. Okay, that's one game. But if they go down 0-2, then is it a different conversation? Then do you maybe look and say, okay, maybe you're not 100%, but when you think you can get back out there, we could use you.
Jenna, one of the number one reasons you and I picked Toronto was because we weren't expecting Kevin Durant to be there.
Right.
So we have it included in the equation, even though other people, they might not include it. But you can guarantee you let them go down 0-2, going back to Oracle. They're already in territory they've never been in. They've always, 1-0, let's go 2-0. Like, that's what they're used to. So that should be the conversation. Kevin Durant has helped them get in a position where they can three-peat. He is not there. The most logical question is, if Kevin Durant would have been there, do you think it would have been different? And Siakam can't play that way because he's got to spend so much energy on KD.
They go down 0-2 without Kevin Durant. They're in absolutely foreign territory to him. I'll tell you territory they have been. They've been down 3-1 without Kevin Durant against Kevin Durant, and they won that series. So again, I'm not gonna overreact. After they swept Portland, I didn't say this proves Kevin Durant makes them worse.
Right.
And I'm not gonna say after game one, this proves they can't win without KD.
Back here, first things first, NCAA and NBA champ and FS1 like analyst that. Antoine Walker joins the show. You see what I did there? Yeah. I adjusted. If there's anything else you
Thank
want me
you
to
for
add,
the
just
warm introduction.
Email that to me tomorrow. We'll get that right on for you. All right, Antoine, let's talk game one of the NBA Finals. Warriors, Raptors, and Toronto's Pascal Siakam was the star in this one. Hey, we said Kawhi was going to need someone else to step up, and that turned out to be Pascal Siakam. Led Toronto with 32 points as the Raptors go on to win 118-109 to take the first game. Steph had 34. Klay had 21. Wasn't enough. So the Warriors drop game one. It's the first time they've lost game one in the finals during this dynasty. Antoine, we'll kick it over to you. How did the Raptors pull it off?
Well, they checked a lot of boxes that we talked about in order for them to win. You start off when you think about they didn't turn the basketball over. They only had 10 turnovers. Then you look at defensively how good they were activity-wise as far as Mark Gasol showing in the pick and roll. We worried about was he going to be able to play 25, 30 minutes. He showed that he's going to be able to play in this series, the way he stepped out on Steph. And just getting deflections and being active defensively I thought was huge for Toronto. Then obviously offensively you think about can they get 100, 15, 120, 118 last night with Kawhi Leonard actually only getting 24 points in the game. You got 5 guys in double figures. They did all the things that was necessary. And obviously Siakam was amazing. You guys have talked about him enough on the show where he's done terrific things and showed a different part of his game that I don't think we knew he had. I'm talking about with the mid-range game, the activity level that he had offensively, the aggressiveness. I thought his post-ups were great.
Especially against Draymond.
Draymond, yeah.
Attacking I thought that him. Gave a lot of the confidence to the rest of the team if he could win that battle because he took him a couple of times off the dribble.
And then Nick Nurse we talked about the coaches. He made the adjustment, the first adjustment. I thought when they decided, I knew they were going to do this. They were going to double-team Kawhi, take the ball out of his hands. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, he wasn't a willing passer the first, say, 6-7 minutes of the game. And then he realized he's going to have to be a willing passer and trust his teammates. And once he did that, they started to play much better basketball. But I like the 2 point guards in the game. I thought was the best strategy that he did. Took Danny Green out the game, brought in Fred, and both of those guys, Kyle Lowry and Fred, both can make plays out the double team, where Portland didn't have multiple guys that can make plays out the double team.
The other thing that Fred VanVleet brought was Steph was on fire in the first quarter. In the first quarter, the only person scoring for Golden State was Steph Curry. Fred VanVleet, starting the second quarter, got more time and started checking Steph. And in that game, Steph was guarded by VanVleet on 33 possessions and scored 4 points. In a game where he scored 34, in a game where he was the only Warrior that was, you could feel, left that game feeling like, I did my part, Fred VanVleet did a brilliant job on him. He took 6 threes when Fred was guarding him. 1 of 6 from 3. Contested 3. So, a guy who was much maligned throughout the playoffs and then went on an unbelievable shooting run. Yesterday, his defense was the most important part because after the first quarter, to me, it looked like this is going to be a 40-plus point night for Steph Curry. Holding him down in that second quarter is what prevented that. And then, even in the second half, when he had the opportunities to match up on Steph, he did a great job. And that, obviously, everything we're talking about here is a secondary or tertiary storyline, too. Pascal Siakam having, as you pointed out, C, one of the greatest debuts in an NBA Finals ever. You said, first guy since Iverson, and only the third guy ever, Iverson, Jordan, and Siakam, 35-5 in their first game ever in the NBA Finals.
There were a number of things that were fairly shocking. And Mark Gasol, I'm going to start with him because we talked about how effective will he be in this series. Lo and behold, in 3 meetings last year when he was in Memphis against the Warriors, he dropped 27-9 and was shooting 62% from 3. So Nick Nurse knew that. So going into the series, we didn't know how much Gasol was going to play, but he did. And he had a positive contribution to the game plan. And the other thing was, how many games did Kawhi Leonard miss this season?
22.
And in those games, the team played extraordinarily
17-5.
So now in the playoffs. So now they're used to playing without Kawhi. We didn't think that they would need that. But they have a comfort level that if Kawhi doesn't score, last night Kawhi held under 25. He's done that 4 times in the playoffs. They've won every game that Kawhi has been held under the 25. And to me, that comes from the 82-game season where they spent those 20 games without him, where he was a healthy scratch. And you could develop character amongst playing with each other. And you could see, even with Kawhi being held down, they were very, very comfortable taking the load offensively.
And those 4 games, I want people to know what games they were. It was round 1, game 3 against the Magic, when the Raptors stole home court back after falling down 0-1 in that series. Round 2, critical game 5 against Philly. 2-2, we know how important game 5 is. Round 3, when they could have gone down 3-1 till Milwaukee. Right, game 4 against Milwaukee, and then game 1 of the NBA Finals. Those are the 4 times Kawhi has been least productive offensively, and they haven't lost yet.
And that's what we talked about, is their role players and their bench players stepping up. There was a stretch where they weren't, and we were like, well, how far can Toronto go if there is no production from their bench? They were deep, and their role players played great. But it also says something about this whole Raptors organization, to have the composure to come out against such an experienced 2-time defending champion Warriors team and say, oh, the spotlight's not too bright for us. We're going to be just fine, even without Kawhi doing what Kawhi normally does.
Well, I think
does.
In the beginning of the game, you saw they had some, you know, it was a little jittery, a little nervous.
Yes, first play of the game, Lowry threw it.
Yeah, and they were playing too fast to me. I thought they was about to get themselves ran out the gym, trying to keep the pace with Golden State. And they kind of caught themselves. Obviously, the fans were terrific, the atmosphere. And usually the role players play better at home in these type of atmosphere. And they did.
They do.
But one thing Toronto has to continue to do is continue to communicate defensively, because that's the most. I thought they guarded Steph great. Even though Steph's numbers look good, if you notice, in the third quarter when they got in the penalty, 6 of those points came just off free throws. So they guarded him really well. I think the whole Steph, the 18 shot attempts, I think was great. Klay Thompson scored a couple of late buckets in the fourth quarter, but they did a great job of limiting those guys' shot attempts. I think that's what really helped them. And you got to remember, the reason why Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala play so well, they played so well against Portland and the last game against Houston. They didn't show up last night. You know, those guys did not play real well. And I told you yesterday, if I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose with Andre Iguodala beat me and with Draymond Green beat me. And it seems like that's their defensive strategy.
And those two guys were 5 of 16 from the field and 0 of 6 from 3. And the other thing that Nick Nurse was able to do, even though they're the team coming off a 7-game slugfest and then a 6-game war with a shorter layoff, he really pared down his rotation. I know 9 guys played, but not really. Pat McCaw got about 5 minutes. Norman Powell has been their best bench player, got less than 5 minutes. He played 7 guys. He played his starters, plus Ibaka and Van Vliet. All of those guys played 17 minutes. 6 of those guys played 30-plus minutes. So he trusted his veterans in that spot.
It's easy to trust Danny Green when you have one of those first couple shots go down.
True.
And Danny Green, to me, is a wild card. The reason why the bench can be shorter, because Danny Green, he becomes unplayable if his shot's not going. But also, man, he is a great defender, and he has played against Steph. He's played against Draymond. And he is a bigger guard to be able to give those guards problems. So him be able to play effective on the offensive end, that led to him. That's why he got the run that he did in last night's game, playing 29 minutes. And that allows the bench to stay shorter, a bigger body as a two-guard. Man, Nick Nurse did a lot of good things in game number one that I believe are duplicatable going through the rest of the series.
Things getting heated up in here with Antoine Walker talking game one of the NBA Finals. Raptors beating the Warriors 118-109. First time.
We got the studio frosty for you, bro.
I like it.
Feels great.
Make me like I'm Chicago.
First time the Warriors have lost game one of the finals under Steve Kerr. No Kevin Durant in this one, but Boogie Cousins did come off the bench, gave you 8 minutes. Steph and Klay combined for 55 points. Wasn't enough, though, as the Raptors built a halftime lead, never quite relinquished it. Still, Klay Thompson is sure that Golden State will bounce back.
We're not very familiar with this team, but that's no excuse. You know, it's still a... Still got to come out here, and our goal was to get one, and it's still on the table for us. So I know we'll respond like the champions we are.
Antoine, do you agree with Klay Thompson? What do you think we see in game two now from this team?
I do believe they're going to respond. It'll be a closer game, you know, probably with 4 or 5 minutes left. We'll have a really, really tight game, and it may come down to a possession. But the thing with Golden State, what they're going to have to do better is they're going to have to figure out if they're going to double-team Kawhi. Is are you going to give Marc Gasol these open shots? Even though we saw Myles Leonard have a big game, obviously, in game four and make a bunch of threes. But Marc Gasol is a skilled big man who's going to make the right play, who's been in these situations before. They got to figure out that. And then Toronto has playmakers. When they play them 2-point guards together,
I thought that was a great point that you made.
So they're going to be able to make plays out of that. So they got some adjusting to do that. And then for some reason, I felt like Steve Kerr, for the first time, didn't know what lineup to go with. You play 11 guys.
Well, this is...
In the finals, you don't play 11 guys, Nick. You buckle down your rotation. You play maybe 8.
Tighten it up.
But he does. Well, this is how – what's the one series they've lost? The Cavs. And what was – I know people talk about the block and the shot, but the turning point of that game was in the fourth quarter when on back-to-back possessions, Festus Ezeli – in the fourth quarter of game 7 of the finals, he's guarding LeBron James. And he hits he gets him to foul him on a 3, and then he hits a 3 on him. Kerr, when he doesn't have Durant, has always had these super expansive rotations, and it's hard to have a set rotation when you're playing 11 guys.
Why is it more important in the finals compared to, we get away with it in regular season, we've seen the first 3 rounds, but in the finals, what does it mean to the players and the effect that it has on the game?
If you don't have a bench that can score the basketball, you can't afford to go long periods without Steph and Klay being on the floor. So that's where hurts Golden State, not having that third legit score. You got to remember, Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala are guys that they are capable of scoring, but they're not great offensive players. So they don't have a third guy right now. DeMarcus Cousins coming off a huge injury. You saw it last night. You're probably going to get what you got from him last night. He may be a little bit more effective, but he's not going to be able to give you much. He missed 14 games. To expect more than 8 to 10 minutes from him would probably be
He's very limited. He can't go into the low post, do you think, and have the quickness and skill that you typically would
see. And they beat him a couple times in the pick and roll last night. He gave up a couple layups, and you don't know how many opportunities that you can really take and help give them up layups. So I think this is the first time Golden State is going to have to make a second and third adjustment. I think the rotation has to get tighter. If it's going to be Jordan Bell, I think he tried to go to Hampton 5 a little bit to start the game to see if they can get Mark Gasol out the game. And Jordan Bell's skill set is not as good as, obviously, Kevin Looney. That, you know, and Kevin Looney played well last night, but he's not the same type of skill set. So they're missing that third score. So they're going to have to tighten some things up.
Well, they're gonna
this
have
is going to be a tougher series than what the Warriors thought it was going
to
be.
Well, and listen, I understand you want to stick to your expected minutes for Steph and Klay. But once you see you're down 10 at halftime and you don't hit them with that flurry in the third quarter, then guess what? Steph might need to play the entire fourth quarter. Like, say, Kawhi played 43 minutes. We have seen Steph played right the high end of what we ever see him play, 40 minutes. Now, game 6 against Houston, he played that whole second half because he had to. I understand it's game 1. You don't want it. But they're not playing every other day like they did in the conference finals. You just had 9 days off. You don't play again until Sunday. Steph needs to be, until KD comes back, I think you can rest Steph for a few minutes at the beginning of the second quarter. You can hope you're in position to rest him at the beginning of the fourth, but you got to be ready to not play him only 7.5 minutes in the fourth quarter, to play him the entire fourth quarter and to go there, because you're totally right that with Boogie limited, with Iggy hadn't hit a shot since the second, or three since the second round, you need Steph out there not only for his offense, but the way he opens things up for your more limited offensive
players. Maybe you got to get more out of Klay Thompson. Maybe in the finals you got to get more than 21 points out of Klay Thompson.
Well, Klay Thompson is a great three-point shooter. He comes off screens. He's not a guy that you can get a basketball to. He's going to create off the dribble. He's limited in that. So you got to understand his strengths and weaknesses. He benefits, obviously, great from playing with Steph and obviously Kevin. But he's a guy that's not going to go put it on the deck and get his own. You're going to have to set screens for him and have to move. And Toronto's too good defensively to just let him come off and just shoot threes. And he tried to get going last night. He took a couple bad shots early in the game to try to get himself going. And when those shots don't go in, he becomes very limited because he's not, unless he gets it in transition, he's not a guy that's going to kill you in the half court because he doesn't deck it really well.
Yeah, no other star player gets the type of treatment that Klay. Klay can disappear, have bad games. People don't say too much about him. But I think as we go on with this series, one of the things that we underestimated was the all-NBA type level defenders that Toronto have. So you can talk about KD not being there. You can talk about Klay not getting his shot. You can talk about Van Fleet when he was on Steph, how he struggled. But, man, this is a great defensive team. This is the best defensive team that they have faced in the championship in their five-year run. Go up and down the roster.
I think it's the best defense they've played in any round. This is their 20th series they've played over these 5 years. To me, this is the best defense. That Memphis team in 2015 could contend. And Spurs,
they gave them some problems.
They went up 2-1, and the Spurs in 2017 would have been the best defense, but Kawhi got hurt two and a half quarters in. Mm-hmm. But you have Kawhi Leonard, who's won 2 Defensive Player of the Year awards. Mark Gasol has won a Defensive Player of the Year award. Danny Green, who's been on the all-defensive team. Pascal Siakam, who I think will be on an all-defensive team. Serge Ibaka, who's been on all-defensive teams. And Kyle Lowry, who got snubbed from an all-defensive team. And then Van Vliet, who's playing his tail off right now. Like, you've got – there's the 7 guys you're playing. Those are the 7 guys that played more than 5 minutes last night. All of them are playing like the upper echelon defensive players, which is why you've got to be the team that gets out and run, not Toronto.
And there is no other combination like it in the NBA where you can name off 7 players deep, and what do they do? 3 and D. They shoot the 3, all of them, and all of them play elite-level defense. This is going to be a great series.
Well, we said this yesterday. We said you have one team with this top-ranked offense and another team with the second-ranked defense, and when you put those two together, who's going to come out on top? And it looked like Toronto's defense last night did.
And, Jenna, your point on Klay Thompson, though, can't be missed. That when KD's not out there, Klay was upset, remember? As you pointed out, he didn't make an all-NBA team. Okay. Like, this is where, and we know Klay can do it, by the way. The moment will never be too big for Klay Thompson. He has some of the greatest playoff moments, including one of the greatest playoff games anyone's ever had, Game 6 against Durant and the Thunder in 2016. But they needed more from him last night. You mentioned he had 21, but so I think at least five of those points came, I don't want to call it garbage time because it was never quite garbage time last night, but when they were at like 2% to win the game.
But the thing about it, you look at Steph, he goes to the line 14 times. Klay Thompson does not post up. He's not a guy that decks it well. So his game is predicated on getting out in transition, getting open threes, maybe getting the layup, or he's going to have to get screens set for him. They're too good a defensive team. They can switch. He's not going to get those wide open looks. So I don't know what we can expect from Klay Thompson. We know he's very capable of having a huge night. But if he's only going to get 12, 13, maybe 14 shot attempts, that's not going to happen because he does not get to the free throw line at all. He's not the type of guy that attacks the basket like that off the dribble.
Got
so
to the free throw line once.
Yeah, see, he's got some limitations to his game, and that plays right into Toronto's hands.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.